We're picking up where we left off last week, and I'm going to read again Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23 as refreshment. Refreshing, there is the way to say that, with refreshing. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know that it is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what it is, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave to Him the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. As a quick review, in 15 through 17, we have the reason that Paul was thankful, and it was the faith that he heard about in Christ and the love they had for the saints. And because of those two things, he prayed for them that they would receive wisdom and revelation through the Spirit. It says spirit of wisdom, spirit of revelation. But it's actually both of those coming through the Holy Spirit. And we know that wisdom is for the grasping of the truth of Christ. And the revelation is making it clear. We can repeat things, we can read things and say, I know what it says, but this is the idea of He will make it clear what He is trying to say to us. Now we're going to pick up with 18 through 23 and finish this off. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. Okay, that's part of this clarification. He's going, I'm praying for revelation to you, and it's the clearing up. If I don't know about you, but I have a lot of muddled ideas about what it says because I'm reading in English something that was written in Greek, and if that's not hard enough, the whole concept is foreign to the way I was raised and what I had been taught or thought, made up on my own. And he's going, I want you to really understand this. It's more important for you to understand what God is saying than what you think. I was in college one time and this professor said, blah, 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 blah. And this girl raised her hand, freshman, and said, well, I don't agree with this. I think. Ooh. The guy used to be a Marine sergeant, drill sergeant. And he stopped and says, excuse me, I'm the professor, and you're wanting to tell me what you think? What are your qualifications? Do you read Greek? Do you understand Hebrew? Have you understood the theology? Exactly who are you quoting, and why are you quoting it, and so what do you base all this on? And she's just like, and then it's like, that's why you're here, is because you need to learn what it actually says. It's okay to think, but she was going to lecture him rather than he was going to share with her. And so that's what he's going on here is God, he's saying, God, I don't want you to let them think what they think. I want you to cause them to think what you think. We need to learn to think the thoughts of God. And then we will understand better what's going on in our life and in our world and sometimes why we have the struggle. So the first thing he talked about there was this hope of his calling. Okay, the hope of his calling. We know what hope is because we go over this all the time. Hope is something you absolutely know for certain, something that is promised, and we know it's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. So he says, you've got this hope of the calling. Now, it's the calling that's the most interesting because we haven't covered this as far as I remember. It's the calling, and it's most of us, and myself included, I would just say I thought this. It was the calling to a position or the calling to a ministry. You know, like God says, I want you to be an evangelist or I want you to be a Sunday school teacher. But that is not what he's talking about in this particular situation. He goes, I want you to understand what the hope of the calling is. And the words there come out like this. This is not a position that's out here. This is not a ministry of out here what you're going to do. The implication is, I want you to understand that this is something from the inside of you. The Holy Spirit has indwelt you. The Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation is what I'm seeking on your behalf. Therefore, it's internal. It is very special. It's something that Christians have that non-Christians do not grasp because they haven't had the teaching, nor do they have the Spirit indwelling them to make it understandable. And because it's the Spirit of God, it is powerful. I mean, it's powerful. It's so powerful that it even changes people like me. Stubborn, willful. Let's not go on. Let's talk about people like you. Stubborn, willful. You know, Paul is saying, this is what's going on. The calling that you have is in here, and it's a high and heavenly call. And basically, it's saying, come up higher. Through the Holy Spirit, He's going to teach us and reveal things to us about Jesus Christ and what Jesus accomplished, not just through His living and His teaching, but through His death, burial, and His resurrection. What that accomplished, it's amazing, and I really can't explain it all today. I owned a book by Harry Ironsides. Most people don't know who he is. It's about that thick. He was the pastor at Moody Bible Church at one time, and it was thick. And I was thick because I kept trying to read it and I couldn't understand it all. But it was called Being Seated in Heavenly Places. And that's where we're going, and that's what this is pointing to, is Christ is seated in heavenly place. He's right there at the right hand of the Father, and then we're called. He's saying, come up higher. And it's a powerful call within us, and we feel that urge. It's just like the tide responding to the moon. When we hear the Word of God, if we have the Spirit in us, we have that urge to go higher. And that calling is, you can. You have the ability to come higher. You have got permission not just to come higher, but to literally approach the throne right now in prayer. But eventually, literally, physically, we will be permitted to go into the New Jerusalem where there is no need for a temple because the throne of God is there in perfect display in view of all people who walk into the city of Jerusalem. And you will be able to approach that throne. And He's saying, you have the ability, and that ability is now within us. The law of Moses was without us. I mean, it was outside of us, trying to say, you've got to do this, and forcing us into a mold, and we do not do well when we're being forced. I don't. I never did. But being forced into a mold that we didn't want to conform to, and He's going, because of Christ's resurrection, the very Spirit of God now indwells you. And He is there, and it is powerfully moving within you. If you'll just relax, let Him do His job, and walk along with Him, you will be changed. You will be fulfilled, and what He is trying to do will be accomplished in your life. It can be done. And all of this being done is actually pointing toward the complete accomplishment will be in heaven. I grant you that. But the staging area, as a lot of commentaries refer to this, the earth is a place of preparation. It is basic training. And I never did go serve in the armed forces, but the people that have all came back and said, oh, whoa, basic training. Mm-hmm. But remember, it's just basic. And therefore, it's not easy. They make you run. They make you do push-ups. They yell at you when you make mistakes. They teach you everything that you need to know that they consider absolute basics. And God does that to us. And it's hard when we're rebelling against Him, just like the guys who are in basic training are griping and complaining and they're not wanting to do it. Instead of just, let's do this, it's fight them all the way until the drill sergeants later say, you'll thank me one of these days if you are in war. All this stuff will come back to you, and you will be very glad that it was taught to you, even if it is rough. We're not the only ones who goes through this, by the way. It's not just me and you, and we can feel sorry for herself or special. Moses spent 40 years out there with them smelly old sheep. Paul ended up on the Arabian Peninsula talking with Jesus for at least a couple of years. Joseph was down there in prison doing servitude for things he didn't even get in trouble for. and God called those 40 years things like, that's just basics. That's just what you're going to need to accomplish what I am going to call you to do as ministry and as position. But until then, this is all internal. So He's calling us and He's saying, you can change, you can accomplish greater things. You let me teach you. You let me enlighten you. You come to understand what Jesus has accomplished. It will be better for you here. It will be better for all the people around you. But when you get to heaven, oh baby, bar the doors, because you're going to say, wow, I now can totally appreciate what's going on up here because I comprehend it. The second part is, it says it's about the inheritance, about His inheritance. What the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I've always read that. This is one of the reasons I didn't understand that thick book that I was talking about, is I always thought it was about my inheritance. But it's not. It's about what Christ inherited. It's about what He inherited. We're always talking about, this is what I get out of it. This is what I get out of it. Well, here's what Christ got out of it. His death, burial, and resurrection, and the thing that He got was the church. Yep, folks, He got landed with us. One of the commentators, I think it was Barclay said, there's a story, and it's just a made-up story. And when He, after death, burial, resurrection, and He ascended, He's in heaven, and an angel walks up and said, man, you had a hard time. He said, yes, I did. And you went through it. Yes, I did. Now, He says, so while you were there, you made preparations, right, to accomplish, to fulfill? He said, yes, I did. And He goes, well, what was the preparations? He says, well, I had some guys, Peter, James, John, and the others, and I told them to share what they learned. And the angel looked at him and goes, you've got to be kidding. That's it. And He goes, I trust them. They will accomplish this. And that is another idea that is not exactly... It is in there, but us being the English speakers trying to read the Greek, it is, you will accomplish this. God will accomplish what He has set out to do. And we are the church, and He will accomplish through us what He wants. Yay for us because we got salvation. Yay for us because we've got the Holy Spirit living within us. Yay for us because we will be used of God. One time I was driving home from a church service. I had nothing to do with it. I was just sitting out in the congregation. And my ride was there, and the minister called on him or something happened, and he made this profound statement. I mean, way over the top. I was just like, well, that ain't you speaking. That's got to be God. And everybody was like, wow. And I was, wow. On the way home, I said, so, how does it feel to be used by God? And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, do you remember that statement you made? And it was like, yeah. And I go, that was amazing. You got used by God. Right there, God used you to convey something to that entire congregation. And the rest of the way home, I thought we'd have a wreck. Because he's going, I've been used of God. Whoa, really? Yeah, I've been used of God. God actually used me. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. He was on cloud nine. We got to the house and his wife's going, what's wrong with him? And he goes, I was used of God. And I'm going, he was used of God. It was amazing. You should have been there. It was truly amazing. And that's the experience that we can have. We can be used of God. And sometimes it's in the most odd positions or places, I should say. And being used of God, and it's like him, sometimes we are, and it's right over our head unless somebody nudges us and goes, by the way, that wasn't you. That was God used you, because it hit the nail on the head and the entire course of the service was altered, or this person's life because of you was altered and they became a Christian. Now, before we all get puffed up and go, hey, yeah, I've been used of God, just remember this. Paul says, God uses the foolish, the weak, the poor, and the infirm, all the things that aren't the best, to confound the rich, the strong, and the powerful. We're used of God. That means it's not us. It's not us, but we are that. We are the objects. I hate to depersonalize this, but we are the objects the tools that Christ will use to accomplish what He has come to do. He came to do more than just to redeem the church. He came to do more than to give us forgiveness or betterment or even resurrection. He came to do more than give us a new heart and to remove all of our guilt. He also came to overthrow evil, to dispose of the legitimate government that the devil had set up because Adam's fall and handed it over to Satan. He was there to now cause the downfall of Satan's reign and rule so that the evil will be done away with off the earth. And He will use us to accomplish that. Christ also inherited the place at God's right hand. That's amazing. He ascended. He being a human, ascended. I know He's completely divine, but He ascended. And God said, have a seat. You've won. I salute you. Sit down. Enjoy the rest of this because it's going to be amazing. And it says, with the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, God did it through Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. All of these names, dominions, powers, all these rulers in this list that I just read, are at that time, they were recognized as not just the positions of humans, like we would say, well, they're referring to kings and governors and princes and dukes and earls and generals and governors. And no. These were all considered names of ranks of angels, whether fallen or whether unfallen, whether demonic and evil or good. They had understood that this is the way the ranks of the angels were. And there was I'll have to read them again, the powers and principalities and the mights and the dominions and the thrones. And He says all of those things were placed under His rule. His inheritance is the right to rule over these people in accordance. And that word, believe it or not, means more than just according to what He wants. It means day by day gaining control. He is day by day gaining control over all of these angelic hosts and all of human hosts, both now and in the world to come, when there's a new world out there. Christ will be the head. And when it says He's working energetically, it's the idea in New Testament, it's always exclusively used, meaning a supernatural activity. This is all of God's activity through Christ and what's He accomplishing, what He is accomplishing at this time. And it's more like I said, we always focus on salvation, but there is this bigger picture out there. He is going for the complete eradication of everything that's negative. All negative thoughts, all negative philosophies. This is the complete eradication until we get to heaven. And then He even does away with wipes away every tear. That's amazing. The short version of this is, God has said, Jesus, you can rule over anything that's got a name. Anything that has a name, it will have to submit to you. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. There's a lot of people and a lot of spiritual beings out there, if you was to corner one, who would not acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord. And then it goes on to say that also granted to Him is this filling. And the idea of the filling here means to be filling every nook and cranny in every place in the universe. It means He will supply the church of all of its needs, and it means that He will grow this church to the perfect proportion numerically with the right people in all the right positions. It also means that he's going to accomplish the absolute and complete overthrow of everything that's evil, everything that's negative, and that he will replace all of that with all things good, with all things beautiful, with all things wonderful. And you hear the phrase, he will replace ashes with beauty. All the mourning he will replace with joy. All these things will be done away with, and all the good will come back up. And therefore he will fulfill everything and fill everything, so that this future world is going to be totally wonderful. But it talks about also us, the church, and that we are the body of Christ. What he's saying is, the short version is, you are the instruments right now, that is establishing the basis and the overthrow of the things that are evil in this world. We are the ones who, by our growth, by our choices, by our actions, by our prayers, by our faith, is tipping the scales in favor of this new kingdom of Christ that's going to be established upon the face of the earth. And every day we're at a tipping point, but also remember, every day, day by day, Christ is accomplishing. We don't hear about it, but there is big revivals going on in places like China, which we do need to keep praying for, India, the Islamic world. There are people converting all over the place. We don't hear about it because they don't want us to know that. They want us to be discouraged. There are people converting to Christianity, true faith in Christ. We might not see it here, but don't lose hope, don't lose faith. We are not alone. There are lots of people out there, and there's still thousands of people coming to Christ. One of these days, though, Satan is going to dig in his heels. You know, it's going to be that last ditch attempt by him to stop this. And he will bring out absolutely every being, every power, every gun, every weapon, however you want to say that, everything he can to overthrow the good that's on this earth. And according to what our scripture says, at that time, Christ will come back the second time, land on earth, and say, that's it. You're not going to treat my church, my bride. You ain't talking to my bride that way, buddy. You're not going to treat my bride that way. It's over. And then it goes on to say that the false prophet, the Antichrist, and all these will be, part of them will be dumped into the lake of fire at that time. Others, it says that Satan will be placed in the bottomless pit or the abyss, and he will be locked up there for one last entrance to prove a point, God says, but that's why he's going to be locked up. But eventually, he's going to say, no, I've had enough. This stops, and it stops now. And the kingdom of God that we have all prayed for, you know, thy kingdom come, it will show up, and Christ himself will reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. But right now, we are his instruments. We are his ability. We are his display. We are his power on the face of the earth. Once again, by our growth, so pray and grow. By our choices, so pray and make wise decisions. And by our actions, God, give me the revelation to understand so I'll know exactly what to do and to be used by you so I can rejoice and say, yeah, I was used by God, because he's using us to overthrow evil right now in the world. Shall we have a quick prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you have accomplished. We thank you for what you are accomplishing. Father, we know that we are not alone, and that the Church of Jesus Christ is still growing and triumphing in this world of evil as we see it. And we know that someday that you'll say, enough is enough in this evil world, and stop it all. And like John, I say, even so, come Lord Jesus. We're all looking forward to the day when we hear the trumpet and you call us up. So Father, until then, keep calling us up from the inside and nudging us, saying, you can do better, you can accomplish more. Greater things are ahead. You will win. In Jesus' name I pray, bless us, amen.